Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. We're always live on the free Odyssey app.
Do you feel like there'll be a quarterback there at number three that should be a number three pick?
Yeah, I think so.
Right to the point. Mr. Dink was done screwing around. If you're unfamiliar with why the questions sound that way, it's because we couldn't hear. I listened to Elliot Wolf for 20 minutes today, as did Mego, as did Arcan, as did Ryan. None of us could hear any of the questions. So when the Patriots sent out the transcript, Ryan decided to repurpose those questions. And
we said we need a voice with authority to ask these questions.
Yeah.
In the place of Mike Reese, Tom Curran.
Yeah.
These guys and gals who ask questions, Nicole Yang.
They all had great questions.
Really
great questions.
Great authority, but we couldn't hear them.
We couldn't hear them. They all had great questions. We couldn't hear what the hell was being asked. And so we had a way to fill that in.
Do you feel like there'll be a quarterback there at number three that should be a number three pick?
He went a little deep there at one point.
Got a little bassy.
Yeah. So what percentage of our audience do you think knows who Mr. Dink is?
I'm going to go ahead and guess like 3%.
Oh, it's higher than that.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, maybe not. I don't know. What percentage of our audience watch Doug? And then what percentage of the audience that watch Doug remembers Mr. Dink?
I'd say like 30%.
You think it's that high?
Yeah, I think it's about 30%.
I don't know. You're overrating the Twitch chat commentary is what you're doing. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. They're hip. They're up on it.
I'm just thinking age-wise.
Yeah.
Right?
30%?
Yeah.
Okay, but even if you're older,
who have some sort of recollection of
or
it,
or you had children who watched Doug.
Right.
Yeah,
but
show.
Then, let me tell you.
Like, we got a lot of old.
Like, but Arkan, when George is watching something on TV, like, how intently are you watching it? You're picking up on, like, secondary and tertiary characters
now,
on
Bluey,
the show that George is watching?
I know everybody Bluey, in the town on Bluey, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. What about Paw Patrol? You definitely know all the dogs on Paw Patrol, and you're like, what is the budget of this town?
It
this
permeates your brain.
Yeah, but
it
Mr.
Does.
Dink is what level of Doug? What character?
Doug didn't have that big of a cast. It was Doug, Patty Mayonnaise, Roger Klotz, Skeeter, and Mr. Dink was like a big-time character.
Mr. Dink was definitely at least off. In the top two.
He was a top five character on that show?
Top 10 for sure, yeah.
Doug's sister Judy.
Judy, right?
Yeah, don't forget about right Judy. Up the with hipster? Mr. Dink.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, maybe I'm shortchanging Mr. Dink. Anyway, I like him as a reporter.
How dare you?
I mean, he gets right into it. But what other names did you consider, Ryan? You considered some other options as reporters, didn't you?
I had a line on Homer Simpson.
Yeah, didn't work?
Yeah, no, didn't. You know, he got distracted by the food spread. It wasn't going to work out. Same thing with Eric Cartman, you know, also distracted by the great spread they have down there for the reporters. I sent Wiggy, but for whatever reason, Wiggy was just, how do I put this? More eloquent, I think. I think you would go, it sounds like Wiggy, but there's no Boston accent, and he's not butchering the English language.
Well, we're so used to hearing from Wiggy, too. We get to hear lots of Wiggy
But questions. The good news is I could, you know, maybe one week it's Mr. Dink. Maybe I send Wiggy back down there and have him try it again.
I really enjoy the work from Mr. Dink.
Yeah, okay. I'm just curious how many people get it is all I was saying. But when it comes to the Patriots, if you could properly mic people up down there, it doesn't mean like there's a microphone in everybody's face, but can we just hear the questions that are going on in the room?
Bit ends when you guys mic your reporters.
Just not everybody needs a microphone. I'm not saying that. Just like, can we kind of hear what's going on down there, or else we're going to have to take liberties. And so that's Elliot Wolf on the quarterbacks. And, you know, is it safe to say that, you know, there are quarterbacks worth taking at three? He said, yeah. And so I do think there were little clues. I get what you're saying, Mego. He was talking out both sides of his mouth. And he was kind of saying everything. I think the Patriots have been guilty of this doublespeak.
Jones, he literally said he likes all the quarterbacks. Like, the quarterbacks, all six quarterbacks. Get out of here. You don't like all the quarterbacks. Oh, it's so special. It's such a special draft.
Okay. But I do think some of it's nonsense. I agree. But what do you think they're doing at three?
I think they're taking a quarterback. I think they're taking a quarterback because that's what ownership
wants. Yeah, me too.
And so I think there's enough clues in there today that that's what they're doing. And look, I felt that way for a while. I don't need to hear Jeremy Fowler on with us, as great as he was, or Tommy Curran, who will be on with us tomorrow, as great as he is. Like, I don't need to hear from people. I use my brain and I go, oh, you know what's going on? It's ownership dictating what they're going to do at three. They've never drafted this high. They need a quarterback. There's a bunch of quarterbacks available. It's not that hard. I'm not going to overthink it. And the best one that is likely to be available is Drake May. So that's probably the one they're taking. It's really as simple as that for me.
The only thing that scares me is just because I don't want this particular quarterback is that I'm worried that they go, okay, you know what? There's really not that much of a difference between a Drake May and a Michael Penix. And we can.
Yeah, but there is.
I'm saying somebody within the front office comes up with this.
If Elliott Wolf thinks that, then what? The Crafts are going to say, no, you have to get this quarterback?
Yeah, and they turn it and they go, you know what? And we can trade back and then trade back up or whatever. Maybe we just trade back and we get Penix in the second round. Like, look at this and we'll get added value. And this guy is basically the same level of Drake May, if not better. And so why don't we do this?
Like,
get your quarterback and you get more.
We all think we know something about these quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
What makes you think Kraft doesn't? Like, you're like, oh, Kraft's going to tell him what quarterback to take? Yeah, he probably reads all the same mock drafts we read, and he watches all the same NFL Network ESPN stuff that we do.
He probably doesn't.
He probably thinks he knows as much. I bet he does.
Sitting around all day reading mock drafts.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised with the number three pick. You don't think it's like, hey, Jonathan's like, hey, Robert, did you see this mock draft? What else are they doing? I bet they are doing that.
I don't know. You just listen to the way that they talked about today, how they're bringing the quarterbacks around the building and they're seeing how guys react to them walking down the halls. I'm like, what is this process?
Robert Kraft.
Oh, yeah. Did you see they checked out his butt when he was walking down that concourse? They like that quarterback. They're going to follow that guy. Like, what are we talking about?
We all think we know what's going to happen with these quarterbacks. We all have strong opinions. You don't think the Crafts have strong opinions on what to take at three? Yeah, they probably are going to tell them which quarterback to take at three.
Okay, I agree with Arkin, though. I don't think they're sitting around watching NFL Network.
Okay, I bet they are. I bet they are.
I think they're more likely sitting around watching Fox Business.
Okay, maybe. You don't think they ever watch NFL Network, ESPN? They don't follow any mock drafts? They have no idea what's going on at the top of the draft? It's all foreign to them?
I don't think that they're doing it as much as
I think they maybe know the names. I doubt that Robert Kraft has watched a lot of Jaden Daniels or Drake May tape or anything.
No, I didn't say that.
What are you talking about?
I said he reads mock drafts. I didn't say he watched
tape. Okay, mock drafts, so what? Mock drafts say every possible combination there is. And if you look at any mock draft, it can tell you anything.
I'm just saying.
J.J. McCarthy was in the mock drafts and like going forth.
It's their pick. You don't think the Crafts have spent as much time like thinking about quarterbacks as we do?
No, I don't.
I do.
I don't think they spent as much time as we have.
I do.
Absolutely not.
I think you're giving us way
Elliott
too much
Wolf
credit.
And those guys have. Yeah.
You're giving us way too much credit. You think we think about this pick more than Robert?
Yeah,
I think we might.
I'm not sure about that. We also spend time on the Red Sox and the Bruins and the Celtics, and we watch other sports. And we talk about other things. I was watching friggin' Caitlin Clark, for God's sakes. Like, they solely are thinking about this pick. They have strong opinions
Robert
on what to
Kraft
do at number three.
Robert owns several other businesses, Jones. It's not like this is the only thing he has.
I don't think he's all that
He has another sports team. He has all these packaging companies and things like that. He's a billionaire with tons of employees. He has so much stuff to worry about every day.
I don't think he's all that hands-on these days.
Well,
I think Jeremy Fowler told us that yesterday.
Sitting in his office just doing mock
drafts. I think he's sitting in his office reading mock drafts, and he's going to tell Elliott Wolf what to do at three. That is what I think. 617-779-7937. I love how, like, we just have, like, all these opinions, and, like, Robert Kraft can't possibly have an opinion on a quarterback because he has other businesses.
Who do you think has a stronger opinion, Robert or Jonathan?
Oh, that might be Jonathan.
Yeah, that's how I feel, too.
Okay.
I think because the way that the tide seems to be turning, and I say Jonathan Kraft is a little bit of a... Which prince was it? Prince Charles? He's the one who's the king now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who was always trying to get after Queen Elizabeth. Like, hey, why don't you get off the throne? It's my turn. Like, I do get a little bit of that vibe from Jonathan. And so I think he probably cares more because he's like, this is going to be my quarterback when I take
Every
over the team.
Caller to this station has, like, ridiculously strong opinions on the quarterbacks. The Crafts don't? That's insane. 617-779-7937. They're the ones picking.
I think at the third pick this year, we should pick Marvin Harrison Jr.
I mean, you know, like we get calls like that every single day of people adamant about what the Patriots should do at three. The Crafts don't have a strong opinion.
Hi, Mego.
Hi.
Let me hear another one. Do we have the question from Mr. Dink included? I feel like I need to set this up
about
every time.
About the state of their tackle and what they're doing there?
No. This is about the quarterback philosophy, number 12, Wolf 12?
You know what I do.
Okay, I was just wondering if we have it or not.
Yes, I do.
Because this question took a weird turn, or answer rather, took a weird turn. He was asked about his quarterback philosophy, and he ended up... he ended up name-checking a few quarterbacks from the Baker Mayfield draft. So let's hear this exchange earlier
today. I'm curious. Back in 2018, you were part of the Browns team to take Baker Mayfield at number one overall. How has your philosophy in terms of what you're looking for in quarterbacks, especially high in the draft, changed?
I don't think it has. Every situation is unique. I mean, obviously Lamar Jackson's a Hall of Famer and we didn't pick him. So that's not a great look. But also, if we had picked Lamar Jackson at one, you know, we might have had to pack our bags at that point, too. So nothing's really changed. We're still looking for the good player. And, you know, I think in this situation, we're going to have the support that's needed for that quarterback if we draft one, whoever it is. We're going to have a situation where they're supported in every way possible to make them succeed.
Okay, that took a lot of weird turns to me. Why? He was asked about Baker Mayfield. He was not asked about Lamar Jackson. So he says, yeah, if we took Lamar Jackson number one, we would have been packing our bags.
As if that's exactly what they were driving at, that it was Lamar that they passed over.
Yeah, so while number one, he ignores Josh Allen altogether. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen went seventh, I think, off the top of my head in that draft. Lamar went 32. Why would you be packing your bags? I don't get it. If Lamar was good, why would you be packing
your
bags?
Because he only got all pro in his second season.
Okay.
And that's disastrous, basically.
So I think what he's hinting at is ownership had a hand in what they were doing in Cleveland. My best guess is, why else would you be packing your bags?
That's what I can't understand.
Okay, so is he scapegoating ownership for making the wrong call?
He's acting like, so this would make much more sense if he had said, if we selected Josh Allen, we would have been packing our bags because it took a couple years for Josh Allen to really arrive on the scene to the level that Lamar Jackson did in his second season in the league. It was almost immediate.
Lamar Jackson made the playoffs year one. I think he went like 6-1 off the top of my head year one. He turned their season around.
Yeah, they came in midway through.
They benched Flacco. He went like 6-1. They made the playoffs. He lost his first playoff game, but he immediately made the playoffs. Lamar was immediately good. Immediately good. He was the MVP the next year, right? So like he was immediately awesome. Why would you be packing your bags? I don't get it. I didn't quite understand that answer. I think that's his way of saying ownership wasn't going to let us bring in someone like Lamar Jackson that far down the QB pecking order, right? So maybe Josh Allen was in play, which is why I didn't name check Josh Allen. But to me, that's interesting. It's like, oh, we would have been packing our bags. So why would you be packing your bags? I think he means ownership, and I think that means the GM has to listen to an owner with that high of a pick, and he's going to be listening to Robert Kraft. I think that was a little bit of a nod, purposefully or not, that Robin Glazer, they're all going to have a big hand in this pick, and it's not just up to him to make the pick. It wasn't in Cleveland. It won't be here. I think that's what he was saying.
It's just so weird. Like, I feel like it's very difficult to unpack because it's also, okay, is he saying something about what was in place in Cleveland at the time? About that they wouldn't have been able to accommodate Lamar Jackson's immediate success?
Well, maybe. It could be that. I don't get what he was saying.
It's weird. It doesn't make any sense.
Lamar was, again, immediately good.
Yeah.
He was immediately good. Maybe he couldn't have played week one, although I believe he could have. If he could play in week 11, I believe he could play in week one, but that's me. Maybe I'm wrong about that. By week 11, he could play, and he turned his team's season around, and they made the playoffs.
He's the example of, like, you know exactly what you have when you have him.
Why would you be packing your bags? I don't get it. 617-779-7937. What is Elliott Wolff's QB philosophy? And is he trying to shirk blame for drafting Baker Mayfield over a two-time MVP, Lamar Jackson, and another MVP candidate in Josh Allen? You can jump in on the phone, 617-779-7937. We still have Red Sox thoughts hanging out as well. I want to circle back to them. Plus, a few more comments from Elliott Wolff, who was pretty candid when it came to the wide receivers earlier today. Why isn't Calvin Ridley a Patriot? Very interesting answer from Elliott Wolff. And he also gave a less interesting answer, but still very telling, on why the Patriots have struggled at drafting wide receivers. We'll get to all that right after Trending with Art.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.